We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest in Kansas City soccer coverage from KCSN, featuring No Other Pod with Jimmy Mack and Daniel Cooser. Currently, with Daniel Cooser and Chris Wright, and Soccer Talks with Ali Trost-Martin, KC Sports Network is your new go-to for Kansas City soccer coverage. Make sure to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything. And now, let's get to it.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod. It's another hashtag victory pod this week.
That's right.
Kustradamus got his prediction right again last week. Dan the Optimist has reared his head once again. But how you doing, my friend? Dan, I'm Jimmy.
If we could take a minute and say how you said, I think Sporting needs to win in convincing fashion, and I said, I think they will win in convincing fashion, what the hell? What kind of weekend was that? What a beautiful day at Children's Mercy Park. Sun was blanketing the whole place. Mm-hmm. People came out, dude. Yeah. People came out. That time, that Sunday afternoon, holiday weekend, game time, people were like, I got to get outside, but I don't want to do too much, so why not go to a soccer game? It was packed, bro. It was gorgeous. Awesome to see all the people there.
I know that you and I have, you know, pretty good things to say about the Apple deal so far, and it's, you know, the presentation and everything's been nice. But one of the things that people have been critical of with this new Apple TV schedule is almost every single game, except for a couple here and there, are Saturday night 7:30. Local time. And so it makes it hard to watch other games outside of your club, for one, unless you're watching MLS 360, but then you're just going to get Kale and Kyle interviewing somebody random while there's games going on. And the other thing is you don't get as many of these afternoon or Sunday afternoon games unless they're a national TV game. And I think they're maybe going to change that next year a little bit to give people a little bit more flexibility. Because I've talked to some people who are like, Saturday nights simply don't ever work for me. And before I used to make it to, you know, 8 to 10 games a year. And now I make it to maybe 2 or 3. So Sunday afternoon, gorgeous time to watch a soccer game.
So Saturday nights do not work for some people. I do tell you, though, my Saturday nights, I was kind of looking out, trying to like schedule something. I have a buddy who does drag shows in town. And I was like, I need to get out there and go. And I do not have a free non-soccer Saturday night until like second week of August, something like that. I mean, I'm throwing in KC Current and Sporting. Like it's either a home game or I'd rather be at home watching on TV.
Right.
It's wild.
It's tough. Yeah. I wasn't able to be at this Portland game because I was out of town with family for the weekend in a place where did not really have service. So occasionally I would get just enough service to load the score on Google. And that was about all I knew.
So but you got text. You texted just fine.
I got texts off and on. Started texting me and I happened to be in a place where I got service and I hadn't checked the score again because last I had looked, it was 1-1 and I was like, well, okay, it's better than 1-0.
Yeah.
And I had seen that Bolley had scored in the 8th minute and then Tommy had scored in the 33rd. At that point, I didn't know in sort of what fashion and I was like, okay, well, at least they responded. And then I didn't know anything until you text me, I don't know, an hour or so later. And it was something like, I told you so. And I was like, wait, hold on. What happened? And then I was able to load it and I saw 4-1 and I was like, whoo, okay.
Listen, I was nervous because the whole time I was there, I said, you know, I say some bold shit sometimes and I'm just like, whatever, let's see what happens. And I did not say that thinking that Johnny Russell and Remy Voltaire would not be in the starting lineup.
Right.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh boy, I'm going to walk this back. Yes. Seems like I shouldn't have walked it back because Daniel Shallowy makes team of the match day. Eric Tommy gets nominated for goal of the match day. Like, who is this team and can we have them every week?
Well, I mean, it's a good question, and it's something that I want to definitely talk about more in this episode as we go through the game. But first, before we jump into that game, if you have not yet left us that 5-star rating and review, we appreciate it. And we have a new one that we have. I think we actually got this technically like right around the time we recorded last week, but we weren't able to read it. So let's go ahead and read that review.
I'm telling you, man, Christopher0713 must have left this like right after we hit publish or some shit because and first of all, I did go look to see if this was our buddy Chris because when I saw 0713 and I was like, Chris's birthday's in July, and so right, so I went and I was like, okay, it's not July 13th. I was thinking though, dude. Christopher says 5-star pod and gives us 5 stars. He said, y'all are freaking amazing and so funny. Daniel and Jimmy, you two bring sunshine to cloudy days of Sporting KC fans. Just discovered the podcast this year, and I love it and never miss an episode. Christopher.
Awesome.
Welcome. Dude, we've been on this. We've been on that bullshit for 6 years. We've been on it for 6 years, and you just found us. And that's really cool
that awesome.
You know, more people come on to the soccer fandom, more people, maybe some overlap with KCSN, people thinking, yeah, I'll support soccer. It's pretty neat, man. So thanks, Chris.
That is cool. Thank you so much. If you haven't left a 5-star rating and review like Christopher did, go ahead and do so. Or you can always shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com. If you can't leave a review, if you're not using Apple Podcasts.
People email us.
They do. We got another one this week that I'm going to read here in a little bit. So
nice.
Let's talk about this game. So as you mentioned, we're going into this game thinking, okay, Portland, let's avenge that loss, first game of the year loss. It was 1-0 on the road where I think objectively Sporting Kansas City played pretty well, but they just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net, which had been a problem for much of the first 10 games of the year. And you're thinking, okay, we'll see. We knew that Tim Melia at this point was going to be out 3 to 4 months with his injury.
And it seems like John Pulskamp is not the guy right now. Everyone's like, is he injured? Is he injured? Nah, man, he's on the bench. So he's available.
He's available. And for whatever reason, Kendall's the guy right now. So
he's the guy.
I don't know.
I see things sometimes where I'm like, okay, go off, Kendall Mac.
I don't want, love hate's a little strong term for this, but there's some moments where you're like, damn, Kendall's got like those quick cat-like reflexes and you get there. And then there's other moments where you're like, it happened against St. Louis where you're like, that you should have saved that. You just were a little late. You didn't quite see the ball well enough. So I think he's not an MLS number one for me. He's a very solid backup goalkeeper, I think. And he can win you some games if you need him to step in for an injured keeper. I'm a little worried about having him step in for an injured keeper for 3 to 4 months.
Yeah. And I do wonder if there's any kind of rotation. If you guys are listening to this on Wednesday, by the way, Jimmy was out of town. We had to get up at the crack of dawn and record this for you because we love you. So this is Wednesday here, nighttime game. I think maybe Pulskamp gets in there, maybe some rotation of guys. Should have Remy Voltaire back, maybe not Johnny Russell. I think he was getting scans yesterday.
Yeah.
So that's scary.
Yeah, it sounds like based on what Daniel Sperry heard out at training. There was no update on Johnny Russell, but it seems highly unlikely he will play tonight, even though he and Remy Voltaire are both listed as questionable on the injury report. Obviously, the people who are still out are the long-term injuries of Melia, Pierre, Ford, and Agata. So, yeah, if you go into this game and you're thinking, okay, no Remy Voltaire, that one's a little bit more manageable because the midfield, as is maybe we're not accustomed to with Sporting Kansas City in the last few years, the midfield has some depth now, so we can weather an injury to somebody like Remy Voltaire. Johnny Russell, that one would have made me a little bit more nervous because I like Marinos Giannis. We just haven't seen a ton of him this year. And quite honestly, I kind of would have expected Peter to start Kyrie Shelton on the right side because that's sort of been his go-to.
Bro, but Marinos is he's a quick little guy.
He's fast.
Dude, he does some things and gets in some dangerous spots.
He does.
And man, if I don't like him, I do. And I just, when Kyrie Shelton came on, by the way, which, by the way, fuck all of you that booed him. I heard it. It was messed up, dude. There's a good chunk of people booing this man. And I don't think that's necessary, right? I don't know.
It's not. Because at this point, when he's coming on in a game, Kyrie's in a no-win situation because no matter what he does, even if he comes on as a substitute, what time did he came on? He came on in the 77th minute. Alan Pulido had played a full 77 minutes. At this point, it was already 3-1. That's the perfect spot for Kyrie Shelton.
Time to get Alan off.
Don't injure him. Kyrie's a big guy. You don't need another goal at that moment. You need somebody who can be physical and maybe who can, prevent, play a little bit more defense and prevent Portland from scoring. If you have somebody like Kyrie Shelton on the roster, this is the exact spot you want him to come in. And, I'm not saying fans shouldn't have high expectations or boo when their team is underperforming or whatnot, but I do think there is, it's a little rough to have what almost seems like a personal vendetta against Kyrie from a segment of the fan base that booing him the second he comes onto the field, that's probably not great for getting him turned around into better form.
Right. So, you're not going to help him. I mean, dude, there is a huge disconnect in fan bases, by the way. Mm-hmm. There are two types of soccer fans, and there's sporting fans, and there's KC current fans. And I want you to know, both teams are not doing very well right now. I'm not sure if you've heard, but sporting fans are like, burn it down, fuck you, fire everything. KC current is doing worse. They're literally, they posted online, nowhere to go but up. Well, no shit, because you're in the cellar. And fans are just like, let's go, ladies. We're doing great.
Yeah.
And they're so positive. And I'm like trying to find this, like, I'm not positive over here. Right. I'm very upset. But I'm kind of optimistic towards sporting right now. Like, that's, I do both these podcasts. This one is now more fun because it's showing a little more promise.
Yeah. It is an interesting juxtaposition. And I think part of it probably is Sporting has been around longer. They've existed longer and they have that championship history a little bit more. So
more rage bros.
Well, some of that probably. but also this has been happening for, 2-3 years in a row of sort of underperforming expectations a little bit. Current, they had a good season last year. And they did fire their coach earlier this year. So they're already sort of in that state of flux.
Yeah.
I have started to see some whispers of, okay, when do you move on from the interim manager if things don't go as well as they are? But, I'm sure you'll talk about that more with Chris on currently, but this team right now, Sporting Kansas City, they're interesting at least. You never really know what team you're going to get. And I'm fascinated to see not only the lineup that Peter puts out tonight against Dallas, but what sort of mentality this team comes with. Cause like you said, you look at this lineup against Portland, Marino Giannis on the right side, he played fantastic. They give up the early goal. It was the 8th minute, I think, to Boley. And it wasn't a great goal. I mean, this is kind of the type of goal we've seen Sporting give up throughout this year is, and Dembe just kind of loses his man in the box. Bolly gets a little bit of a free shot from the penalty spot. Not much Kendall can do there. You go down 1-0 in the 8th minute. Like I said, I wasn't really there. I watched the game on replay. Couldn't really hear. I have to imagine the air kind of got sucked out of Children's Mercy Park once Sporting goes down early again.
Bro, Marissa and I had date time. Chris didn't come with us that day, so it was just the two of us, and we just kind of started chuckling to ourselves. We were just like, oh no. You just kind of, you kind of felt like, okay, if we were going to get scored on, I'm super glad it happened in the 8th minute and not the 88th minute, right? So I'm feeling optimistic, but I'm also kind of like, kind of like laughing about it. Like, of course. Yeah. Of course we get scored on first.
It's kind of like a here we go again type deal. Were there...
Kind of.
I couldn't really hear it. Were there boos at all? Or were people just more doing the like, ah, okay, this is what I expect now?
Not huge boos. Not like burn it down, we're pissed off kind of situation. More of just like, yeah, here we go, you know? Yeah. But it didn't matter, dude. We played really well. Everyone was super solid.
Yeah.
You know, you had, you know, Graham Zusi ended up coming on at halftime, for God's sakes. That was weird, right?
Yeah.
And I was surprised. I thought David Bingham was their number one goalkeeper. Is he the sub? He used to be. Yeah.
I know he used to be. Ivicic, he was there. I think he started the first game of this year. I don't quite remember, but he's sort of taken over for them. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that desperately needed to have some sort of a response after that 8th minute goal. And like you said, Sporting was playing pretty well. And then
until Thanos came out,
a moment of brilliance from Eric Tommy in the 33rd minute. And if you watch this play as it's happening, I'm watching the highlight right now. He takes it all the way down to the corner flag.
The corner flag.
Then comes all the way back up, passes by
around
three Portland defenders.
Yep.
And then just is like, whatever, I'm going to take it. And just
I'm not left-footed, but I'm going to do it from my left foot.
Exactly. That's what's even more crazy. This is not his preferred foot. And he just, from deep outside the box, left foot on a laser rope into the top left corner. Nothing Ivicic can do. And that should honestly be goal of the match day, goal of the week, whatever. But that turned this game around.
Oh, I stood up way too fast. I got lightheaded immediately. you ever do that? You stand up too fast? You go, oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're screaming, so your oxygen is leaving your body. And I'm like, I think I'm going to pass out. This is how this feels. Dude, but he just curls around three guys. Mm-hmm. Boop a doop a doop a doop. And then just the velocity on it, the way it just, shoo, goalkeeper didn't have a chance.
No.
It was wild.
Not at all. And this is, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 games in a row now, maybe, where Eric Tommy has played more on the right side, where, you know, he's still a central midfielder, but he tends to cheat more to the right side, where early on in the season, he was playing so far to the left sometimes that he basically ended up as a left winger. So it started with that Seattle game, and it's continued, and there is something that Peter Vermes has found tactically when you have Eric Tommy on the right side, especially then when Gadi Kinda is in centrally and more on the left, that it opens up this offense in ways that we just didn't see through the first 10 games of the year.
Oh, man. It's just wild. It's Thanos. Are we calling him Thanos? Because he is the I'll-do-it-myself guy. He's I'll-do-it-myself, and he just takes it on it and does it.
And I'm not going to lie. I like the celebration. He hasn't done it quite a bit, but he's got his little signature, pull the arrow out of the quiver, go shoot it. Like, it's kind of cool, and he did it right in the Calderon end.
Absolutely. So. And dude, he sells it. He's not just saying like, I already have the arrow, so it's a bow and arrow. He's like, nah, I got to get it.
Yes. He pulls it out. And I'm like,
that's everything, dude. Great miming.
And then it's just, he's a fun player to watch when he is on his game. And Peter Vermes kind of talked about that for the first 10 games or so of the year. He was trying to do too much, and we all saw it. He was not playing at the designated player level that we needed him to play at because Willy Agata wasn't playing up to par. He had his leg injury. Johnny Russell was injured. Alan Pulido was injured. Gadi Kinda was injured. So it was basically the Eric Tommy show. And you could see he had the skill and he had the quality. It just, he was trying to do too much, and he has now he did the most on this play, but by and large, he's let other players sort of play around him a little bit more and hasn't decided on every single play he needs to do it all himself. And I think that's opened it up.
I was just happy we got a goal before halftime. Like, I just kept thinking, I was like, dude, if we can just get one back and go in deadlocked at the half, that's everything.
Yeah. And they almost got a second. I mean, in the, I want to say it was like the 42nd minute, Daniel Shallowy put the ball in the back of the net after a cross. I believe off of a corner set piece. He put the ball in the back of the net.
Because Danny Rosero fucking push the guy.
Yeah, well, there's that. And Shalaby was a little offside too, I believe. So,
but they called the foul first. They didn't call offsides.
Yeah, they called the foul. So they did VAR. They pulled it back. And so that was a little bit of a bummer. But you're right. Went into the half. 1-1.
That's my guy, dude. Danny Rosero just goes, fuck you.
Danny Rosero, there's no in-between with him. He's no. either like world class or... bro, what are you doing? And there's not much in between.
I love him. I love a good push.
Yeah, he's wild, but he's probably our best center back. So there's that.
No, not if you saw how Fontas was playing on Sunday. The man went off, dude. There was a moment where he had the ball and he like kept the ball while three defenders came after him and he was dribbling away towards the sideline. And I was like, what is happening? Get rid of the ball. It was world class defending. I was so proud to be wearing my Fontas jersey at that time.
Yeah.
It was so awesome, dude.
Yeah.
He was great. Well, he had a hell of a day.
Good.
Except the yellow card in the 46th minute. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a long second half.
This is the start of it.
Yep.
Well, we're going to talk about the second half here in just a second. But first, we're going to take a break, and then we'll talk about the second half that sealed the game for Sporting Kansas City. So we'll be
Thanks
right.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
We back.
Hey, you know what I did last night?
What'd you do?
Went and saw Little Mermaid.
How was it?
I liked it a lot.
I've heard good things.
Buddy, we all have those movies as children, mm-hmm. Disney movies that mm-hmm. we probably watched over and over, VHS and the big puffy case. My top three were always Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. Aladdin, mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
What do you got?
I had Beauty and the Beast probably as one of those three, but the other two that I had were The Jungle Book and The Sword and the Stone.
Whoa, those are up there too. Yeah. I played Cogsworth in Beauty and the Beast, yeah. The musical.
Okay.
I was a fucking clock, bro. Just huge.
Just a unit of a clock.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I need to go see it. I haven't seen it yet. I did stay up and watch this. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I did stay up and watch the finale of Ted Lasso last night.
Okay. So a whole hour and 20 minutes of it. Huh?
It was a longer one because it was the they call it a season finale. I think we all expect it to be the series finale. They haven't technically said it's over.
Apple's going to be like dollar bills, y'all. Please make more stuff.
I doubt Jason Sudeikis is coming back, and this doesn't have anything to do with what actually happens in the episode. Just based on what he as a person has said.
Right. I think they said it's done.
He's done with the character, but I think they also said they've left it open for more stories to be told. If they so I took that as, I don't know, maybe they'll do some spinoffs here and there. Sure. I think this is one of those things where I enjoyed the first season a lot. I thought the second season wasn't quite as good as the first season, but I still enjoyed it. I feel like I'm in the minority. I actually don't love the third season. I think it's missed quite a lot of opportunities, and the writing hasn't been great. But
wow, Jimmy over here, pompous about the writing.
I wanted them to spend more time going through the whole Nate and Ted relationship. Like, so much of the second season, and then the way it ended, and it's like, oh, Nate's actually turned into Jose Mourinho, and he's now a bad guy, and all this. And then they didn't really address that for a large part of the third season.
I'm sure the actor who plays Nate would have liked more screen time as well.
I just thought there was more opportunity there, but you know, it's that's done now, and Kansas City got plenty of mentions, so was kind of cool to see Kansas City represented throughout that show with Jason Sudeikis being from Kansas City. So
yeah, totally,
pretty cool. Let's talk about this second half. So 46 minute, Fonsis gets the yellow card. Okay, well, now he's got to have to play a little bit more careful. We know Daniel Shalloway's goal got called back because of the foul on Danny Rosario. Sporting Kansas City continued to play on the front foot, and it was in the 66th minute when Ndenbe switches the field to Graham Zusi, which, first off, brilliant pass from Ndenbe.
Whoa, not Ndenbe. Why are you saying that?
No, sorry, not Ndenbe. Leibold. I don't know why I just defaulted to Ndenbe. Yeah. Leibold was in there. Switched it to Graham Zusi. World-class pass to Graham Zusi. And then Zusi, he might be getting a little old.
But no, stop it.
One thing that he can do better than just about anybody else in the world
is put a ball in the box.
Well, I was going to say bring a ball down from a long switch.
Settle it, sure.
The way he settles a ball with just a simple touch where he can get the ball right in front of him, and it bounced a little bit in this one, which is fine because it set up his pass perfectly. There are some times where you watch this fool, he brings the ball down from a 60-yard pass, and he just like it just like stops dead in its tracks because he just knows how to settle it so simply.
That's a professional athlete for you.
It's a weird, not everybody can do that. It's like, I don't know if he just has worked on this skill over and over, but he is, I would argue, almost world class at it. So he settles it.
He's a World Cup player, for God's sakes.
True. He settles it. It takes one little bounce, and then he just fires it on a line low across the box. You have runners into the box. Daniel Shalloway is there and just taps it home and instantly points to Graham Zusi. And he's like, that's all you, bro.
Went and hugged him right away, dude. Just insane. Freaking, oh my God, dude. Daniel was on another level, you know, doing assists, scoring goals. It's just, this was great, man. When I see Zusi in there, I know he's going to get forward and give some kind of service into the box like that. Mm-hmm. And now that we're getting runners into the box, which was not the case for like the first third of the season.
Right.
This is just, things have changed, man. Things are looking up. Ask me how I feel about Dallas tonight. I'm not really sure, but things are looking up.
Well, and what, again, I've said this before, but what makes me so happy about watching this play unfold is you have Daniel who makes the run toward the 6-yard line. And he's the one who obviously taps it in, but let's say he redirects it on frame and Ivicic is able to get a hand to it and saves it and it deflects back into the box. You have two runners trailing behind Daniel. You have Janice and Polito, who are both there about 6 or 7 yards behind Shalloway, running into the box, who are there on either side of the net, prepared for a rebound. And that Sporting Kansas City had not been doing before. If they were getting a runner into the box, it was typically one, and they were late. Now they are crashing the net, and that's how you get goals.
Got to get those offensive boards, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Well, unless you're the Boston Celtics in that game, was it game five? No.
Hey, that's game... all right, man. Celtics put themselves in an awful position.
Like, there was one game where they out-rebounded the Heat 21-1 or something like that offensively, and they still lost by 20. So, So Daniel Shalloway, 2-1, and at that moment, you're like, okay, I'm feeling it. I think that if we get one more goal, it's done. So,
oh yeah, we needed one more. When it was like 2-1, I'm just like, this ain't enough, man. I could feel a late equalizer coming. We're gonna go home disappointed. We got a good stretch of home games this coming month, And dude, if you can maximize those, your points there, capitalize on that shit, this could be a very formative month for this club to climb those standings.
Exactly. So 68th minute, just a few moments later, Daniel Shalhoub is running down the left side. He passes the ball into the box to Alan Pulido. He touches it around Ivicic. Mabiala, the Portland defender, comes, and I'm not quite sure what he was doing. I mean, I think Pulido was probably about to tap it in and make it 3-1 anyway, but Laris Mabiala comes in and crashes into Alan Pulido, and it technically is an own goal that puts Sporting Kansas City up 3-1. I feel a little bit bad for Alan Pulido because he was about to get another goal on the score sheet.
Did you see it, though? Like, he was going to score it. I mean, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. He was. He was about to tap it in with his right foot, and it was going to I mean, it was an open net. There was not a chance that was not going to score.
Exactly. It was unfortunate. I thought he fouled the crap out of Alan. I was like, okay, so that's a penalty. so I was too busy watching the foul. I didn't see the ball trickle in the goal.
Into the net.
So everyone's going nuts, and I'm like, yeah, penalty, let's go. And then I see them. I see us celebrating a goal. And I'm like, oh, what happened now?
Yeah, it's, I mean, Mabiala did get the ball. Now, you can still get the ball and commit a foul and a penalty. Getting a ball is not, you know, again, out of jail free card for not committing a penalty. He did go through Allen pretty good.
Yeah.
And you can argue the way he did it was pretty dangerous. But I'll take the goal over the penalty, obviously.
I know. It sucks when you call a goal, you can't really go give a card. Right.
I mean, you could.
Can you?
Yeah. I mean, because it could still be a foul that led to an own goal. So he could have given a card. But I think at that point, the ref had just decided. I mean, it's possible. I'm watching the replay right now. If Allen's foot got caught, Mabiala kind of almost does like a scissor kick type deal. That could have been a leg injury. So
I don't like that at all. I need my guy strong up there.
If Pulido got injured again, it would be a disaster, but he didn't, and it made it 3-1, and that was basically the game. Now, just for good measure, Felipe Hernandez comes in, and this goal is just gorgeous for a couple of reasons. Roger Espinoza receives the ball in the midfield, looks up, and the run that Felipe made, starting almost before Roger even receives the ball, he sees Roger receive the ball. Felipe is almost at the midfield line. He does. I'm watching the replay now. He starts this run before Roger receives the ball from Radoya. And he is 20 yards away, at least, from the back line. And he just takes off. The back line can't do a thing about it. A perfectly weighted pass from Roger Espinoza. Absolutely stunning. And then Felipe, he doesn't try to touch it around. He doesn't try to go the other way. He doesn't try to draw the penalty. It's just a simple little touch. Just right around Ivicic. 4-1. Game set.
I just want to say people were not okay with having Zusi and Espinoza on this squad. Well, they both provided assists in this game. And it's quality, dude. They have that quality. Quick side note, by the way. There's a guy, and I want to say, and his wife, his partner, I don't know. They I think their season tickets are like two seats down from us. And I want to say his name was Sam, and he introduced himself to me. He listens to the pod. He's left us a couple of reviews and shit.
Okay.
So
shout out to Sam,
man. I was just like, well, cool. You're here all the time. So kind of neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Just, you know, I do wonder what people think around me when people come talk to me and they're like, whoa, is this guy a big deal? Yeah, man. I'm on TV, kind of. We record this on YouTube.
I mean, YouTube, at this point, it's the TV for some. Yeah,
you can put YouTube on your TV. Like, that's an app.
You can, yeah. And for the kids these days, it's they watch YouTube more than TV anyway. So.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, it's such an interesting dynamic that Sporting Kansas City are in right now. And, you know, they ended 4-1. Gio Savarese, he had some interesting quotes after the game. The Portland Timbers head coach, he said, we had control of the match for the majority of the game.
Get out, dude. Gio is a clown's ass. Oh, he is an ass clown. Who is this man? What? Where's he seeing his possession numbers?
I mean, Sporting Kansas City had more shots. They had more shots on target. They had more goals. They had more possession. They had better passing.
More corner kicks. I mean, what, everything, dude.
It's, yeah, I mean.
So you had more control for the first half. I would say that. Absolutely. For the first half, you controlled most of that half.
But even still, you know, it could have been 2-1. It could have been. That second goal got called back. But, yeah, Sporting Kansas City. Dude. Now, possession is not everything, because Sporting Kansas City outpossessed St. Louis when we lost 4-0 a couple weeks ago. But 63% to 37%, 15 shots to 9, 7 on goal to 3, 540 passes to 328, 89% passing accuracy to 81, 8 corners to 1. And
where's he getting these stats? That key, he's better.
The key stat of them all, 4-1.
4-1. Yep. Seems like you were in real control. Does Portland still have fans? Do they still have fans? Like, are they still boycotting?
Well, their boycott has never really been a true boycott. But
okay, you know, so they kind of did, and then they're like, eh, whatever, still like this team.
They're like, we're mad, but we're going to be there and spend money. So
okay, fair enough. Yeah. Well, they had some fans there at the game. Every time we scored on them, they just stood up and held their scarves, and it was like, all right, that's a lot of standing because we're dropping goals on your ass.
Yeah, well, and even if you look at the expected goals, and the expected goal – it's a little bit of a fool's gold with this one because they barely gave, technically they didn't give any expected goal total for the Mabiala goal because it was an own goal. So if he hadn't gotten that, then Polito would have tapped that one in. That probably would have added another, you know, 0.3 or 0.4 XG to this total. But even in the XG, Sporting Kansas City, 1.7 to 1.2 for Portland. So they outplayed them. That it probably should have been over 2 for Sporting Kansas City.
So we shouldn't have had 4 goals. Like those goals seemed very like good.
The Eric Tommy goal had a very low XG.
Oh, sure.
And then the own goal didn't give any XG because it was an own goal. So
We finished what we had.
Exactly.
And that's a first.
And sometimes you look at XG as a sort of a measure of how a team did, but all that is expected. It's not the end all be all. So if the XG is 1.7, but Sporting Kansas City put 4 away, it's probably not realistic to expect that over the course of the season, you're going to be nearly doubling your XG every game, but it can be a measure in that specific game of how well did you play? How you know, did you overperform, or were you in such good form that you even outplayed expectations? And that's what Sporting KC did in this game.
All I know is that if we ever get 4 goals dropped on us again, I'm going to expect us to come out and score 4 goals to make up for that. Like we're just over here erasing goal differential that we went down on.
Yeah.
It's insane, dude.
So just a couple of quick quotes from Peter before we take one more break. You know, he was asked about Remy and Johnny Russell. You know, basically he was saying that, you know, you have to take purposeful chances. The weather, when it gets hot, you have to worry about rotation. You know, they maybe could have played, probably not Johnny, but Remy maybe could have played, but it just wasn't worth risking it at this point. And, you know, and he's been preaching injury rehabilitation for this entire start of the year. That's been his mantra. And then when people have questioned his job security, that's when he's been like, hey, we're managing people back. So that's sort of something that he's very cautious about. But then he was asked about the team's turnaround so far in the month of May, and he goes, the recent form has been for quite some time. As I said, we played a lot of good games in that time. We just weren't getting the results. I think the difference is the players have maintained their belief. Obviously your confidence goes away a little bit, but they keep working. They work toward it. The most important thing to understand, as I've said it a million times, is that when you have so many guys injured, it puts too much pressure on the rest of those guys to carry the team. Now those players are getting fitter. We've had to have patience with it, and it never would have made sense to try to push guys onto the field when they weren't ready. He's confident that this is closer to what the team is. So
I'd love to see it on a reg, dude. See it on the regular basis.
If you look at the month of May so far, I know they have one more game tonight, but they're 3-1-1 in the month of May. That's 10 points out of a possible 15. That's averaging 2 points per game.
Gotta have it.
that is good enough to get this team easily into the playoffs by the end of the year if they were to keep up that form throughout the rest of the year.
With home games this coming month, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's totally possible.
It is.
And we starts tonight, man. May 31st here, going into June.
It's not necessarily going to be easy to keep up a 2 point per game pace for the rest of the year. And there are still going to be the occasional games like St. Louis, hopefully few and far between, but there is an opportunity. Dallas tonight, on the road at Vancouver on Saturday night. And, you know, Vancouver is, they're okay, but they're not great. And then home against Austin. Austin's been struggling. Home against LAFC. You just drew LAFC on the road. You should go into that game with some level of confidence. And then to finish out June, you have on the road against the LA Galaxy, who are the worst club in the league right now and just fired president Chris Klein. And then you finish out at home against Chicago. So yeah, you're absolutely right. June is a key month to claw your way back into playoff position and create some separation between you and the line.
Well, June is also Pride Month, but we're going to celebrate it tonight, baby, because we're kicking it off early on May 31st for the Pride match tonight. So
yeah,
we take a break and talk all about it.
It makes sense. But yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this, and we'll talk about the Dallas game.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Bro.
And we are back.
It's like rivers out here, man. It's raining. It's raining like crazy.
It is. I looked. I don't think it's supposed to rain tonight during game time.
Not tonight.
But the field is going to be saturated as hell.
We're in like a river flood warning here. My backyard has like moats. I don't like that. You know, I don't want that moat to overflow and like start coming in the basement. You know, that'd be wild.
Yeah, there was one time where I went down into our basement. We have some of the cat's litter boxes down there, and it was the night before trash day. So I'm going down there, I'm gonna empty the litter box and take it. I opened the door and I see the litter box just floating like a little boat.
I remember
through
this.
My basement. And it took me a second because I look at it, I'm like, that's not supposed to be like that. And then I realized, oh, that's because there's about 7 inches of water in my basement. Now, thankfully, it's this basement's largely unfinished. It's just concrete or whatnot. But essentially what happened is our sump pump died. And so it just started filling up through the sump pit. And of course, you don't find it until like 11 o'clock at night. And then you have to get somebody out there. They get there till like 2 a.m. They got their big ass truck and they're trying to pump it out. One of the damn neighbors called the police on us.
Really?
A policeman showed up and he's like,
oh, you told me this.
Neighbor said there's just a lot of noise. And I'm like, yeah, would you like to come see our basement? It's currently flooded. We're trying to pump the water out.
I think you've told this story on the pod. That's ridiculous.
Oh my God,
what makes a house have a sump pump? Because my last two houses have not had a sump pump.
I think in my expert homeowning experience, because houses in LA where I'm from do not have sump pumps. I think it's just it's to get the groundwater away from the foundation, so it makes it less likely that you'll have cracks and whatnot in the foundation.
So do you install one? Like what the hell?
Oh no, I think when the home is built, I think they put the sump pump. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure somebody can add a sump pump for you. Maybe I don't know how that works, but
I mean, I don't need one, so I don't. I don't know. Our producer Nick says he thinks it depends on the water table. I don't know what that means.
It's a better answer than what I had.
All I know, dude, is my dogs ran out today and ran straight through. They're like 3 inches of water.
Oh, they don't mind.
Well, they do mind, but they just ran right through it. They didn't care.
because I try to let my dog out when it rains. I open the door. She takes two steps outside, turns around, comes right back in, and is hell no. And I'm like, no. You got to go out there.
Got to do something. Go poop in the garage and I'll pick it up or something.
So tonight, Dallas is coming to town. And, you know, Dallas.
I don't like this.
I hate these games. I hate playing Dallas because it always is just a dogfight. And it's ugly games.
They're the best team in Western Conference this month.
They're in fourth place right now. They did just draw San Jose on the road. They
have the longest active unbeaten streak in our conference.
They do, and San Jose almost snapped it, but Dallas got the equalizer in the fourth minute of stoppage time in the second half. So, and that game went for like 10 or 11 minutes of stoppage time. Ooh. I think there ended
up being... That's like someone said something racist and they had to stop the game forever.
I didn't watch the game, so I don't know exactly what happened. I just know that Judson on San Jose got a red card in the 90 plus 10 minute.
That's such a waste.
Yeah, it was a second yellow, but a red card. So, waste. Yeah, so now we haven't beat Dallas the last two times we've played them. It's been both games were in Dallas. They were 2-1 losses in October of last year and then earlier this year. Last time they played in Kansas City was May 10th of last year. We won 4-2. It's a pretty even series overall, 33 wins to 31 wins, SKC with a slight advantage, and then 14 draws. This is just – it's one of those games where they're just a scrappy team, and it was even worse when they had Michael Berrios on the team, but it just feels like this is always just sort of an ugly game.
And we're also not the same teams as when we played them 2.5 months ago.
That's true. That's very true. So I think Sporting Kansas City should be going into this game with some level of confidence.
You should. You just dropped 4 goals on a Western Conference rival.
Right. The question for me is, okay, with Johnny Russell injured and with another game Saturday on the road in Vancouver, so they're going to be traveling, that's a good 3-4 hour flight to Vancouver in the Northwest part of the area in Canada, obviously. I almost said Pacific Northwest. I don't know if it counts as the Pacific Northwest since it's in Canada, but who knows. What sort of rotation is Peter Vermees going to implement? Because 3 games in 7 days is quite a lot. So
it is tough. It is tough. I will say Daniel Shalloway likes to score against these guys.
He does.
That's a stat. It's the opponent that he has scored the most goals against in his career. And this starts 6 home matches in 5-week span.
Mm-hmm.
So like, boom, boom, boom. It's time to capitalize, man. Put goals away in front of your fans. Because what's better than making the fans get loud and celebrating with everyone? Like, that's such a joyous feeling.
If I had to choose between this game and the game on Saturday against Vancouver to put a stronger lineup out in one of the two games, I choose this game hands down. Not just because Dallas is a better team, but I think from a morale standpoint, getting a solid win against a good team at home is more important than a road game against Vancouver. And I'm not saying that it's not important to try to go for a win, at least a draw, obviously, in Vancouver. But I think just, you know, and I don't know how much Peter Vermees does or should necessarily take this into account, but the psyche of the fan base right now, it would be better for the fans, especially if they're coming out on a Wednesday night and it's been rainy and whatnot, to see a good performance and a victory. And then I think it'd be easier to stomach a draw or hopefully not a loss, but a not as impressive result on the road Saturday night.
Dude, 100%. 100%. I feel that you throw that strong lineup out on Wednesday, man. Like, maybe it'll be a lighter crowd because Wednesdays kind of usually are, but maybe not. Because after Sunday, well, it does kind of suck the format right now, right? Obviously, you'd rather play games Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday instead of Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. Like, you'd get 2 more days out of that little stretch, man. And it's just, it sucks. So I bet they ain't training for shit. I bet they didn't train this week.
Probably not. I mean, they probably did some recovery. They did some team meetings, watched some film, maybe do some walkthroughs, some strategy sessions. But
they're not going hard because that's just the load, man, alone. And then the travel up to freaking Northwest Canada, you know?
Yeah, Vancouver. I mean, that's, you know, they'll charter a plane and whatnot. But again, it takes a toll on the body, you know, especially a game where you're running around, you know, 6 miles at a time constantly to be on an airplane, not moving around as much. You know, that's why I'm thankful that they are able to charter flights now more, because, I mean, it's still wild to me that it would be a professional soccer team, and the women still deal with this, but a professional soccer team, you'd be getting on your Southwest flight and you're like, oh, there's Alan Pulido. There's Matt Beisler. He's B17 waiting to get on the plane, just like me.
So strange.
And the NWSL team still have to deal with it. When I was flying back from Orlando earlier this year, I was on the flight with the Orlando Pride.
Oh, because they were playing here in town.
They were playing here. And I remember being like, this is so strange. Like, these owners could pay for charters if they were allowed to. They're not even allowed to by CBA. So,
well, this game Wednesday, though, I'm kind of excited. I've never cheered for this. Kind of excited that Paul Arriola is injured. he's good, man. He provides great passing and service to everyone. So to take that maestro off the field is very exciting to me.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas, it's a good team. So it will be interesting. You know, Remy Voltaire, questionable tonight. Johnny Russell, questionable, but probably not playing. So
Paxton Pomacall is out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Sebastian Legette out. Like, these are big names.
These
that
are names.
That would absolutely help them.
Absolutely. So this is, again, another key opportunity for Sporting Kansas City to get some points, work their way back. I mean, if you look at the standings right now, we are above two teams now in the Western Conference. They are above Colorado and they're above the LA Galaxy. We're now 4 points clear of the bottom, which is crazy. Once again, we're 3 points off the playoff line, 3 points behind Portland, Austin, and Salt Lake. So we just took 3 points off of Portland. That's
playoff line. It's the playoff before the playoff.
That's true. But we just took 3 points off of Portland. That's huge. We have Austin coming up. That's huge.
Got them twice in 2 months.
Twice in 2 months. So this is a big time game tonight. This is huge for Sporting Kansas City to work their way potentially back into that playoff conversation.
Austin kicks off the month.
Austin is at home tonight against Minnesota. Who else did I say? We're Austin, Salt Lake, and Portland. Is Salt Lake on tonight? I don't see Salt Lake is at Salt Lake's at home against the LA Galaxy. So nobody wants to watch that game. And I don't think Portland plays tonight. So I can't make up. We can catch Portland with a win tonight, but Portland can't make up any ground on us. So
does that mean we play at 9 o'clock on Saturday?
9:30.
No, 9:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's Pacific time.
Interesting. Oh, so, I was looking at SKC2 plays in Vancouver on Friday at 9. There we go.
Yeah, 9:30 kick on Saturday. So technically, if the Galaxy and Minnesota can beat Salt Lake and Austin, those are, you know, good luck with the Galaxy, we could pull level with the playoff line, playoff line, as you say.
The playoff to the playoff.
So this is huge. But
this is a big deal, man. This is the beginning right now. Sunday kicked it off in a spectacular fashion. Mm-hmm. Now you need to freaking sweep June. You go through them like gangbusters, dude. And you stay healthy. You play smart. And God dang, get Johnny Russell back in there, because he's a different beast, man, than everyone else on there. Yet with subs, we scored 4 goals. So what the hell do we know?
Who knows? Hey, this is why I say don't bet on MLS.
It's unbelievable. So you got that No Other Pod polo on, by the way. It's looking good.
Look at that. It's got the, what is it, KCSN right there?
Yeah, so it's very tight on the arms. Is it tight on your arms?
It is a little tight on the arms. Well, look, we can't all have the arms that you do.
Look, it's snug, right, by the way. It's snug. I wear it to the office, and the old women, they get excited. I don't know. You think I'm kidding?
No, I know you're not kidding. I heard the story. Before we sign off, I do want to just read real quick this email from Scott Herndon. I think it's an interesting one to consider. It's not specifically about Sporting Kansas City. We did get this on May 26th. So this was last week. He says, love the pods. Appreciate your thoughts and analysis of the clubs. I'm not going to read verbatim what's coming next because it's a little long, but he goes, referees. We've seen some bizarre calls and no calls throughout the years, but it seems like things are trending worse instead of better. They have a tough, thankless job, and I try to give the benefit of the doubt as much as possible, but it's hard to understand what they see sometimes. It seems like there is no information given from pro or other referee organizations on ideas they have to improve the level of referees in the leagues. VAR was brought in. That has had varying effectiveness. Nothing else, at least that I've heard of, has even been proposed. Have you heard of ideas being brought forward? And then he goes on to say that there could be more training. Organizations like FIFA could have more clarity on some of the rules. Calls should be clarified better by pro after the matches. He even says, should there be more referees on the pitch? He knows that would be more obstacles, but he says the NFL has 7 per 22 players. The NBA has 3 per 10. Baseball has 4 umps per 10 players on the field at any given time. You know, the 9 players plus the batter. So he just says, curious what your thoughts are. We often say how bad it is, but rarely do we hear people putting forward any solutions.
Look, I've always thought it'd be kind of neat. I don't know if there's some kind of like legacy thing where it has to be one referee who has all the control in the world. I would love it if they could find a way to have 2 on the field. Because your line judges, dude, the guys with the flags, all they're doing is symbolizing, here comes your subs. And oh, offsides here. I was watching one thing for the entire time. Maybe they'll call a foul if it's in their 10-yard radius. But like, other than that, man, if you could have 2 guys, one works one end, one works the other, similar to basketball, ball goes down, other guy goes to baseline, other guy goes to midfield. I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's too much congestion, but it sounds neat.
I guess that's the fear, is the congestion, because how many times do you see now, even when there's just one referee on the field and they get in the way? Now, you could argue that you might actually be able to mitigate that a little bit more, because if there's, you know, one ref for each half that they're responsible for, the ref has to do less running back and forth in between lanes. So maybe that eliminates it a little bit. Soccer, I feel like, is more of an objective game to call. Mm-hmm. Then you think about like football and pass interference calls or whatnot. And we're all arguing every Sunday about, was that actually pass interference or not? It's sure. Pretty, I said objective, I meant subjective. It's a pretty subjective thing. So that could add additional confusion. If we're already upset about consistency in calls, now you add 2 people instead of 1, it could create some more inconsistency. But one thing that you could do, I mean, they just implemented VAR, there are people watching. One thing that I appreciate that the NFL has done that I think has cut down on challenges and reviews or whatnot, is they have, like, I forget what they call it, like the sky judge or whatnot, where you'll see they'll throw a flag and then they'll come together and they'll have discussion. And then after, you know, a minute or two, they'll be like, after discussion, it was determined that there was no foul on the play or whatever. And more often than not, it's a referee in New York watching on the feed, where they can see, is that a foul, a penalty or not? And they'll radio in to the referee. They're like, hey, no. Overturn it. Yeah. And that way it makes calls more accurate. It keeps the game moving faster, and it doesn't force coaches to use coaches challenges in places where they obviously shouldn't be needed. So
you could fine.
Do that with soccer, I guess. I mean, it's hard.
It's going to slow it down, man.
What I was going to say, the hard thing again about soccer is there's no stoppage in play.
Yeah.
So if the head ref decides no foul and waves it off, you can't really have a sky judge kind of, actually, sorry, that was a foul, and then a few seconds later, like, blow the whistle, actually, never mind, I know I made a whole big show of saying no, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
So
it turns over your credibility. When I umpired baseball, parents would always like argue with me, and I'm like, I was some high school kid, and I would look in these parents' faces and I would say, why are you arguing with me? I'm not going to overturn my call because you're yelling at me. Like,
I'm
I have
a child.
To stick with, I'm 16 years old. I have to stick with my call. Right. I'm just hoping that the catcher catches the ball so I don't get hit. That's because that happens. Concern. Just catch the fucking ball. Yeah. It's just, dude, but you're right about the fouls and it being a fast game, because Sporting took advantage of this a lot on Sunday when fouls were called. Boom, they were off and running already. I loved it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think the biggest thing they could do is just be more transparent with disciplinary action for referees. After I know that there's collective bargaining agreements and such with the referees union or whatnot, but Chris Penso had a terrible game Sporting KC against St. Louis, and then mysteriously didn't have an assignment the next week. We'll never know if that was some sort of reprimand for having such a shitty game against St. Louis, but it very well may have been. And we
between
just
the lines,
know.
Right?
Right. And, or even the pool reporters who get to ask questions of the refs after the game, you know, the refs just simply do not want to give any information away. And it's like, what, you know, the question might be, what did you see on the foul? I'm just going to make something up. What did you see on the foul from Roger Espinoza in the 57th minute that led you to issue a red card? Oh, well, I saw that Roger Espinoza fouled him in the 57th minute and it was worthy of a red card.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Why are we asking them anything? Why are we even giving them a chance to be on the record? Because you're not going to get shit.
Right. So
it's embarrassing. There's no transparency there. They're giving these pool reporters the idea, the freaking glamour that, hey, these refs will talk to you afterwards. No, they won't.
Right.
They will say obvious shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, the NBA does the 2-minute report where they say, yeah, these calls were right, these were wrong. And sometimes that just makes people more mad because they're like, yeah, I knew it was wrong. We knew it at the time and it cost us the game. But
that's cool, though. I mean, that's
at least
fine.
It's accountability.
But these soccer refs, man, they're just like, I deemed there was a foul.
So, but yeah, man, I think that's about all we got for this week. It's just going to be a huge game for Sporting Kansas City tonight.
We didn't get into Vancouver too much. I hope, dude, this could be a 6-point week. Throw in Sunday, it could be a 9-point week. I mean, it's we'll see what happens, man. I'm excited. You going out there tonight?
I'll be there. Yes.
I will be there too. Make sure to wave at me.
I will. You gonna be wearing your pink headband?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably not hot enough for that.
Well, I'll be out there. Looking forward to a Sporting KC win, hopefully. We'll be back next week with a victory pod if they can pull this out tonight or Saturday against Vancouver. But yeah, thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate you sticking with us. Thank you for the emails, for the reviews, for the comments at the game. We appreciate it. Make sure you follow us here and, on Twitter and Instagram at NoOtherPod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Check us out on YouTube, KCSN Soccer. Check out that KCSN app. And leave that 5-star rating and review. Or be like Scott. Shoot us an email. nootherpod@gmail.com. But until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.